2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Okay, so what do women want to talk about?
Career. Juggling home and work.
Family.
Shopping.
Financial security.
Knowing how to take care of myself if I need to.
Relationships. Taking care of our kids.
Taking care of our aging parents.
Oh, fashion's a good one.
Yeah, fashion's a good one.
Oh, beauty and health.
I'm saving that for you, honey.
A Woman's View with Amanda Dixon. A look at issues in life here at home and around the world. All from a woman's perspective. Now, Amanda Dixon on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Boy, this will be a show that if you miss it, you'll have to get the rest of it in podcast. Because this is going to be such a great show. What wonderful guests I have this week. Dr. Susan Madsen is with me, Professor of Leadership and Ethics at Utah Valley University and Director of the Utah Women and Leadership Project. Good to see you, Susan.
Great to be here.
Thank you so much for your time. Lisa Walker is with me, Certified Athletic Trainer, teacher at Springville High School and board member of the Utah Athletic Trainers Association. Good to see you, Lisa.
Good to see you.
And Natalie Gochner joins me, Associate Dean of the David Eccles School of Business at the University of Utah. Natalie, good to see you.
Hi, Amanda.
I want to talk about Elizabeth Warren's proposal of free college education. I know several of the other candidates agree with her about some form of free college education. We all know that it's a generation of young people who are drowning in student loan debt. So something big is broken. And I heard Congressman Chaffetz on with David Dujanovic this week talking about how this is not the right way to go about it. But something is. And with your economic background, I thought, you know, if paying for it up front is not the way to do it, having a whole generation not be able to buy a house is not the way to do it either, right? So what's the answer?
Amanda, you're pointing to me, and I'll try and set this up, and then the other ladies can add their two bits. But, you know, we have a presidential race that is proving to be, it's going to be very colorful. There are so many candidates on the Democratic side, and they are making a race to the left. Of all interesting things. So Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, is all of a sudden looking like this voice of reason and a moderate. So, you know, we were just all like, really? And she's hitting it out of the park. She's doing a great job in that role. But so you have Elizabeth Warren, who's really, you know, pushing the left pretty hard. And one of the ways you push the left is you have government do more. And free tuition would be that, obviously, raises all sorts of issues. You know, how do you pay for it? Because we're a nation. We would be borrowing money from China to pay for our education. What are the equity or fairness issues? Because there's a lot of people that, and I work with all these students that are working hard to pay for their tuition, and all of a sudden you come along and, you know, or you don't have to. There's also this issue of when you have skin in the game, you do better in school. You can do it. So I would say that it is a problem with the wrong solution. That's coming from my perspective, but would love to hear what the other ladies say.
Fascinating. Lisa.
Yeah, I've thought about it because I've got all three of my children are adults now, college graduates, and have paid off their student loans. One just paid a huge chunk. Couldn't even get him to compromise on if he were to pay a huge chunk after selling a home. So my feelings are mixed. I also teach in a high school classroom, and I have that kind of that skin in the game situation that I feel like if we just give it to them again, if they're just almost that entitlement, like, you're going to send me to college. I don't know that they work as hard as if there's something some reason to have to work. I do think something needs to change. I don't like the huge student loan debt. I don't like what it does to their future. But I'm wondering if some kind of a more along the debt forgiveness based off of success rates, completing school, having to hang in there till the end, and something along those lines. I don't know what the answer is, but I'd rather see it explored at the back end rather than just give it to them at the front.
Interesting. What do you say, Susan?
I actually agree with both of them on everything that they've said. But one thing, especially in the state of Utah, that I have observed and done some research in the past is oftentimes we don't prepare ahead as families. You know, we get into debt and so forth. But in my initial research about 10 years ago, we found that women who, when they were young, started putting away money for college, even pennies and nickels and so forth, were the ones that really ended up in college and engaged in college. So I don't think in a lot of families we prepare ahead for college. I'm talking about the kids that go, you know, saving money, but also parents and so forth. So taking that away does kind of put us into, Arthur Burks calls it democratic socialism a little bit more, and how there is kind of an environment where that's looking better and better when, you know, it's easier. And that's often what this younger generation, you know, if they're not taught to work, they're looking for easier. But I am worried about that this proposal as a solution. I just think there's a better way, but I don't have the answers
so
as well.
Just to play devil's advocate, so we decided as a society that that high school, that education up to grade 12 was important enough that we would pay for it as a society and we wouldn't charge you. But education beyond that was not important enough that we wouldn't pay for it as a society. Why stop at 12?
But we don't want, as a society, to pay more taxes.
Why not stop at 10 then? Think of how much money we'd save.
Yeah, that's true. So 12 has been and in Utah, we've even struggled with that, to make that 12th year meaningful. Yeah. So, Natalie.
Well, yeah. Amanda,
sorry about my devil's advocate, but I'm going.
No, I appreciate it. I would say, so, you know, when we talk about the United States of America and what our strengths are, you know, that list is getting a little bit shorter, unfortunately. Yeah. And part of it's because everyone else is rising. It's not because we're falling, but others are rising. But one of the top assets we have in this nation is outstanding colleges and universities. We are the envy of the world, without question, without peer. I'm looking at my colleagues here, you know. And you spend time in these university campuses, and it is such a special place, what we've done. So I would just say that our system is really to be valued and appreciated. And what we have is, we have some things we need to fix. So I would make a big pitch for My 529, which is our local Utah Education Savings Plan. It's one of the best in the country, and it allows parents to put money away, and it grows, and then it's used for whatever they need in post-secondary, you know, whether it's a trade school or college.
I just opened one last week.
Yeah, that's a really responsible thing to do. But for the current crisis we have, we maybe need to renegotiate some of the terms to get us, you know, out of, because we have a lot of students. You mentioned, you know, the situation with your child and the like. And so I think we have to do some things, but I think that we don't have to be so draconian to say, oh, forgive this, and now we're going to pay for it all. We've got a system that's been working.
We have to break in just a second, but then let me ask you the big question. Is college a class-based offering? I mean, is it something then in our society that really just kids of the rich or the middle class get to have and poor kids do not?
Yeah, that's not my experience at the University of Utah.
Okay.
I'll let others
know. And they're all agreeing.
Yeah. I mean, the diversity of the student that we have, it's amazing.
I almost feel like the middle class has an issue because the parents make too much, they can't get the help, and they can't get in there. So
that's interesting. Okay. When we come back, I want to ask you another education-related question. That this last week and another week, the younger kids in K through 12 have been taking these RISE tests across the state of Utah. I need your input on that coming up in a moment here on A Woman's View. Stay with us. Back in a moment. No one else around.